Move that we approve.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
All right, now we move on to our academic and student affairs update, which pretty much includes a lot of what we have to talk about today. Dr. Westbrooks. She's looking peachy today.
Again, good morning. First of all, does everyone have a copy of the booklet that, okay, I want to, Dr. Watson, do you have a copy of this booklet? Okay, I brought extra copies, that's why I was asking. In front of you, you have a resolution to eliminate the bachelor's in economics as well as the minor. Include it in your document. Of course, you have the resolution. The report that was initially generated by the department, which is the academic program review report. You have a comparative cost study. So how does our program compare with similar programs in the state of Illinois? You have budget decisions that we make in the academic affairs area regarding faculty load. We have information regarding faculty productivity. As a result of all of this information and the initial review that was done by the Academic Program Review Committee, it was recommended, I recommended to Dr. Watson that the program moves for consideration for program elimination. As such, a program elimination committee was formed. That committee is comprised of representatives that were selected by Faculty Senate, as well as our UPI, as well as others. Included in your packet is the report that was submitted by the Academic Program Elimination Committee. The committee provided information that would suggest that the program be given another year, and after that year, in the event if there were not some changes, positive changes, in the areas of weakness, then they would support the program being eliminated. Having said that, I reviewed the recommendations of the program elimination committee and went forward with my initial recommendation to eliminate the program. That recommendation was based on several factors. One, only two majors require the econ major or minor courses for gen ed. As a requirement for general education, only two majors, those majors being political science as well as business. When we look at the minors, for example, we have nine minors that have already pre-registered for enrollment for the fall term. And of those minors, 90 to 95% of them are business majors. So you cannot have a program that solely exists for a few students on our campus. Regarding the gen ed, we approximately have 120 students that enroll in one of the econ courses. They offer both micro and macro, and we have about 120 students enrolled total in those two courses. So when we began to look at the enrollment over the last 5 years, there's a steady decline. We looked at the graduation rates. I mean, when you do a ratio, you're looking at zero students, very low. And productivity, because it is related to personnel, I would prefer not to make those comments public. And the overall cost of the program, which is a major concern at this particular institution, you may be aware, as an aside, that Inside Higher Education today announced for Tennessee State University, they are eliminating physics, African American studies, and foreign languages. Tennessee State is not alone. Legislation has now been passed in both the House and the Senate that has given the Illinois Board of Higher Education the purview to begin eliminating our programs. It serves Chicago State University well if we can begin to look at our programs, the viability of those programs, and we make those decisions versus IBHE making those decisions for us. So with that, I have the resolution stated here. Whereas there has been consistently low enrollment in the economics program since 2005, whereas the graduation rate of the economics program is extremely low, whereas the majority of the faculty in the economics program have very low productivity, including grantsmanship and scholarly publications, whereas a timeline of 2 years will encompass courses that are needed for our students to complete the program. So the students who are currently in, we want to assure them that we will put together the courses that they need within this next 2 years so that they can complete and graduate. Whereas efforts will be made to assist students in completing the economics major or in selecting another major. Whereas effective fall 2011, no new students will be admitted to the economics major or minor program. Therefore, be it resolved that both economics major and minor courses will no longer be offered by the College of Arts and Sciences beginning fall 2013. Are there any questions?
I've got a couple. So I know the major will be gone, but you're saying there'll be no economic courses.
No, they will not be offered by Arts and Sciences. The courses will continue to be offered.
Okay.
But as you may know, we've been having some discussions about restructuring in the College of Business. So with that, the College of Business will, they're currently developing a proposal for consideration.
Okay, so our political science majors and our business majors will still be able to take economics courses?
Yes.
You just won't be able to major in it? I'm pushing because I'm an econ major, so.
We recognize the importance of the
courses. That was my question. It would just be a detriment for those students not to take economic courses. I mean, they're at the core of what they would do, so.
And it's still available for anybody who wanted to take it as a gen ed.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep, thank you. That was my only concern.
And then I just want to confirm that I understand there are 9 students who are currently either majors or minors.
Minors.
There are no majors.
We have 12. No.
That's
in the
not
report.
Correct.
If you look, well, it's near the end, and this was our response. There are currently, for the spring 2011, there were 17 majors. But of the 17, 2 have more than 120 credit hours, so they're working on their second bachelor's. And, you know, this has been a problem that we're currently examining here at Chicago State. The number of our students that continue, they have so many hours, and we're really beginning to analyze that information. And then of those 5, because we went from, in 2009 we had 12, and then spring 2011 we had 17. So those 5 additional new majors, 3 are working, 3 are working on their second bachelor's degree, and 2 were transfers from other majors.
But anybody who needs courses to complete their
we're going to make certain
that they're going to be able to.
Trustee Hill, as I indicated in a previous conversation, Back in 2004, 2005, when I was Dean of Education, we had two programs that were eliminated. We recognized that those programs were no longer viable. We had faculty in them, but we had no students. So it was decided that we would either encourage the students who had just started the programs to enter into other majors, or because we were talking about eight majors at that time. And for those that did not wish to do that, we put together a full plan. We told them every semester which courses were going to be offered, but we examined what did they need to complete. And as a result of that transition, it was a very smooth transition. All of those students, all eight of them, they did graduate. So we were really pleased about the outcome, but it does require some planning and looking at each student, bringing each student in to find out what does he or she need for program completion. And the three that are working on second bachelor's, those are the ones we will be working with to determine is there another major, because they just entered the program. So they probably have not taken many courses.
What would be the advantage of majoring in economics over majoring in business that contains the study of economics?
Well, I mean, business as a whole, and I don't want to speak, I don't think Dean Collins is here.
Yes, of course.
May I answer that? I'm Bea Bohemani. I'm one of the faculty.
Could you come up to the microphone so we can hear you, please?
Mm-hmm. I'm Bea Bohemani. I teach economics here. And
can you go closer to the microphone?
This is closer now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Thank you. I'm Bea Bohemani. I teach economics, and I just want to answer that to major in economics, you have a flexibility in terms of applying for jobs in business as well as in any other institutions. I do prepare a few information so you can take a look at what you can do as a major in economics.
And having said that, some of that information was presented at the time when we had the actual academic program review. I believe there were like five or six individuals that were listed as graduates from the program. And unfortunately, of the five or six, none of them had business, entered any fields in business.
You know, and one thing we need to be clear on, this is not a question of the value of economics as a major. We definitely believe it is a very valuable, valuable major. This is more of an issue of we have not, at Chicago State, been able to develop a program of quality.
Well, the few are the absence of any majors. I mean, it looks like we've had people who said they were going to major, but they don't actually graduate as majors in this field. And so, in a time when the university's resources are so stretched, it really makes sense to focus our resources where they are really in demand.
My point is that it's a crucial majors, and as you can see that the economy is the most important factor even to determine the outcome of the political election.
And I would agree
with
that.
And then I just want to say that to eliminate this choice for our student, it's really disadvantageous to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, then my question would be, if this is an important major, why are we not marketing this department?
We have been doing that, but as you can see from what I put down, it's not an easy coursework. Okay, so it's a complex, and it does require mathematics background, and we are doing pretty well. If you look at the record from last year, we doubled the number of majors. We did it by 100% increase, and number of minors we have it increased by over 40 students.
This is not really the forum to revisit all of the issues that were discussed during the program review, so I think we really need to...
And if you look at the program review, there is some, I would say, funny conclusion in there, because if you look at the vote from the committee, you can see that the vote is a positive vote, okay, as an outcome. And then
we all had an opportunity to review that, so we can see what the...
Yeah, and the elimination committee already recommended that we should have another year to show you that we can improve and we can do a lot better. I'm talking on behalf of students. I personally will not, I personally will be here for just a few more years. And this is for the advantage of students. That's the reason why I'm here today.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
You're welcome.
But also I'd like to indicate that there is no secret. You know, when it comes to enrollment, all of the universities are very, very competitive. And unfortunately, you know, our competition is right here in our backyard. I mean, our competition is not Eastern that has econ, not Western that has econ, not Illinois State. Our competition is Northeastern that has econ and is a very low-cost program, as well as Governor State. So, you know, we don't want our students to attend those two institutions. However, it appears that their programs are very viable and they have larger enrollments, larger graduation rates, and the costs are not as costly as Chicago State.
Do you have numbers of taxes?
If you look at your included in your packet, under comparative cost, I provided the comparative cost studies from fiscal year 05 all the way through 09. And all of the institutions that also offer the economics program, they're listed in the left-hand column. And we not only have three full-time tenured faculty members, we also have one full-time lecturer. We also have two part-time faculty members that are teaching.
But I'm not able to find where, like, the student numbers. I mean,
if you look at the
very low student numbers for...
Okay, if you look in the lower the bottom, right hand, there's a small box. It gives you the number of full-time faculty, the number of majors, and the number of degrees conferred on each cost study. And we don't generate the cost study. That information, this is provided by IBHE.
But you don't have the numbers for the other colleges, is what I was saying, like Governor State.
Oh, you mean the number of majors?
Yeah.
Do we have
that?
You're going to pull it up here? Okay.
Was there a way to eliminate some of these costs?
The first cost that we will eliminate effective fall term will be we will not rehire the two part-timers. And because it's a personnel matter, I prefer not to indicate the specificity. We will not rehire the full-time lecturer. Given the number of courses that we offer, we will have four loads for our three full-time tenure-track faculty members.
The only other concern I have is just that, you know, if we're going to be a university of entrepreneurship, to not have an economics program, I think cosmetically is pretty damaging.
Is it the program or the courses? Because, as I indicated, the...
you bring up a good counterpoint. I think if the course is there, that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one for me, obviously, because my career has been built on economics, so it's very, very difficult for me to grasp. And Sam was asked a question that, you know, I remember facing when I was a freshman, whether it was going to be business or economics, and I like the art part, right, not the science part. Which is why I went to College of Arts and Sciences to be an economics major and a business major. So I'm just saying, from that side of the brain, more entrepreneurs come from the economics, the art side.
But I think that, you know, I can I went to a university with about 1,500 students, and there were plenty of economics, it was an all-women's college, and there were plenty of economics majors there. It was a very successful program and fed into the kind of work that you would expect to have graduating from an economics program. I don't see that here. I will also say that everybody, just about everybody I knew, took one or two economics courses, even though we were majoring in such very soft things as foreign languages. The same way we took, you know, real math. I mean, that was something that was expected, and it was done in such a way that it integrated with other programs and was, you know, supported by. And I think that there's clearly a role for economics. I think that what this recommendation does is preserve the things that the program, that the courses do well, and gives us now an opportunity to look at, you know, doing it in such a way that it really does play a stronger role in the whole business environment. So, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I mean, just one more. I mean, in lieu of having no major, would you make the economics courses, particularly in the business school, required rather than just electives?
Well, you know, that's something I cannot impose upon other majors.
Somebody has the ability to do that, right?
Yes.
Well, but in terms of imposing, you understand that the majors, you know, many of our majors have accreditation that is directly aligned with it. So given the accrediting bodies are requiring more and more, there's very little wiggle room now for students to even have, you know, electives. Now they've turned into selectives, which means, okay, it used to be a time when you could take anything. Now what programs, especially those with accreditation, they're saying, okay, these are the five courses that you can select from. You can't just take whatever, you know, you can only take one of the five. So you're kind of limited. And I don't see that it's going to get less rigorous. I see that it's going to become more rigorous, especially in light of the economy. And, you know, Dr. Watson, he can, you know, attest to this at the last IBHE meeting, you know, there's a serious, we need to really seriously be concerned here at Chicago State University. I mean, we have a reduction in our budget of 1% next year. On top of that, we cannot continue to do business as usual. And we have to make some hard calls here at Chicago State. We've been carrying these low-enrolled programs for the last 10 years, well, since 2005. So now we have a chance. Let's look at what we're doing. We cannot do it all. Here it is. We just added. We have a new MPH program. We have a new master's in nursing that starts effective fall. Where are we getting the resources to support these new programs?
I can appreciate that. I want to bring it back to this point specifically, though. Again, I just want to ensure that, I mean, somebody can make the determination that we have business students that they take these as required, not elective.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to get at.
We greatly value economics, as I stated earlier.
Let me be a little more specific. I'm not going to hire a business major that has taken no economics courses.
And Dean Collins clearly understands that, and that is something that we are taking into consideration.
It's going to be required.
And I don't want to get into specifics here, but that is something that we're definitely going to take into consideration. There's been in-depth discussions with Dean Collins.
That's great. Thank you. I'm clear.
May I have a motion to that we recommend the adoption of the resolution by the full board?
Move we approve.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Westbrook. Now the next action item has to do with the values, vision, and mission statement. Dr. Buziel?
Excuse me.
We had a lively discussion on this topic at our last board meeting, so we are apparently ready to revisit it now.
Do you all have copies of the resolution from you? In case,
Thank you, Trustee Hill, for giving the opportunity to speak, and Chairman Rozier, Trustee Samuels, and President Watson. So let me just, since this is kind of an important issue, let me just read the resolution. It'll take me about a minute. And when I'm done reading it, I'll emphasize the changes that have been made since our last meeting, May 13th, and to give a little explanation as to why we made those changes. So, whereas a retreat consisting of over 70 members of the Chicago State University community, including a member of the Board of Trustees, convened in summer of 2010 to discuss revisions to the university's core values, vision, and mission statements. Whereas the documents developed by said retreat were circulated among the university community to gather feedback. Whereas the Board of Trustees has discussed and agrees with the proposed core values, vision, and mission statements, therefore be it resolved that the Board approves these core values, vision, and mission statements. Core values. Chicago State University values intellectual development, creative and innovative thinking and learning, dignity and unique talents of all persons, responsible choices and actions, personal and academic excellence, personal, professional, and academic integrity, diversity, leadership, service, philanthropy, social justice and entrepreneurship, pride in self, community and the university, lifelong learning. Vision statement. Chicago State University will be recognized for innovations in teaching and research, and in promoting ethical leadership, entrepreneurship, and social and environmental justice. We will embrace, engage, educate, and empower our students and community to transform lives globally and locally, locally and globally. Mission statement, and this is where the bulk of the changes have been made since the May 13th proposed resolution. Chicago State University, CSU, is a public, comprehensive university that provides access to higher education for students of diverse backgrounds and educational needs. The university fosters the intellectual development and success of its student population through a rigorous, positive, and transformative educational experience. CSU is committed to teaching, research, service, and community development, including social justice, leadership, and entrepreneurship. Now, the statement that caused the most concern on the part of board members and other members of the community was a statement that said that that we provide higher access to higher education for students who are academically underprepared and economically disadvantaged. And a number of the trustees, Trustee Samuels, Trustee Kerr, in particular, stated that statement was really inconsistent with what we're trying to do as an institution. In other words, of course, we serve such students and have served them and continue to serve them and wish to continue to serve them. However, it's really the diversity that we want to address, that we also serve students and want to encourage students who are very well prepared, the Graduate College being a prime example of that, the Pharmacy College, my gosh. Many of the students come in very, very well prepared. We want to encourage, Dr. Watson has been talking about moving the curve a little bit and starting to encourage students who are very, very well prepared. Well, you know, people look at the mission. People look at the mission when they want to come. They'll look at that mission, especially now that it's so concise. It doesn't take long to read it and to see what we're up to. So with the word diverse, we are now letting people know that be they well-prepared or be they someone who needs maybe some remediation to get to that college level, that we're going to be able to serve them. Now, another change that has been made in the following sentence, we added the word success. I mean, it's very clear that all the metrics that we're being judged on indicate that we need to show that we provide students with the opportunity to succeed. But it's not just those external metrics. We all internalize the idea that we don't want students to just come, pay tuition, and disappear. We want them to succeed, whatever their whatever their educational goals are, be it to obtain a certificate, a degree, a graduate degree, an undergraduate degree. So those changes, I thought, really addressed the concerns of the individuals who had expressed concerns, as well as, of course, you, the board members. And I'm hoping that that you will be able to embrace these documents, and we can then, make them part of the university's fabric. And again, why is HLC so concerned about this? Because criterion one, mission and integrity. We really have to know what our mission is. That's why in early summer, actually spring of 2010, that's why we took this on. Because we knew that in order to write our report, we have to be clear on the mission. And I think that as a result of the discussions that have gone on, we have a great mission statement. So it took a little more time than maybe we had hoped, but I think that it was necessary to have these discussions, to go around a few times. So are there any comments or questions?
Yes, actually, I want to thank you for being willing and open to the board's recommendations.
Thank you for making those recommendations.
And I think it's an excellent.
Thank you.
I guess just in terms of this resolution, do we have to say somewhere it includes the changes that we offered in last meeting, which might indicate that it took longer than you would have just,
maybe another whereas?
Whereas the board discussed and agreed.
We certainly
very happy to take that as a friendly amendment.
I think that that can, well, certainly now that you said it, be reflected in the minutes of the meeting, so it's part of the record.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do think that, you know, part of developing a vision and mission is the engagement of all the parties that are doing it. So as important as having this is, it's the process of getting people where. Hopefully, there are others like me who read this and say, I am really proud to be part of this institution. And I can really stand up and say, I think this is a mission and a vision that is worth getting behind and being behind and being excited about.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
With that said, may I have a motion to approve the resolution?
I move
to
approve
the resolution.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Thank you.
Thank you. Strategic planning, Dr. Sharp.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Leslie Roundtree, the co-chair in place of Dr. Sharp. I'd like to first start by clarifying that my understanding was that we were bringing back the strategic plan to the board, given some concerns from the May meeting about where we were in the process and that it is not at the step of resolution and to be voted upon. It's mostly an information sharing point. We did send the document out, I believe, last Friday, where we demonstrated the steps that we've undertaken since October of 2010 when Dr. Watson convened the meeting. We have completed our SWOT analysis. We also have identified major goals and objectives. We are at the point now where we are talking with key administrators and other constituents to look at the specific measures, which I believe was the concern raised in the last board meeting. We did provide you with an example of our next step in terms of where we're trying to move to determine the assessment indicators and the measures that we will potentially need so that the university can have the benchmarks to monitor their plan. We also were waiting for the finalization of the mission statement to ensure that the strategic plan matches that mission statement. So I don't know if there are any other key questions at this point.
Well, okay, so what I see here in the report is a description of the public agenda goals, and then a statement of six strategic issues which give rise to specific goals for the university. Mm-hmm. And then, so I guess where, based on what we did, the discussion at the last meeting, what's changed? What do you want to draw our attention to in this?
At this point, what was the confusion, unfortunately I was not at the meeting, but we did have that phone conference with you, Trustee Hill, was that the concern was, where are the measures? How will we know that we're meeting our objectives? And if you look on the last page of the report, that is actually where the committee is at this point. The objectives are clear in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, but we now need to set the benchmarks and the measures so we can determine how we'll determine if we're moving forward on our objectives. And since the strategic plan will also have to be filtered down to the colleges and the departments, we felt that the university needs to determine overall arching indicators, such as, I know the goal that you had discussed with us previously was the finance goal in terms of the percentage that we would be moving away from dependency on the state, and that objective has been looked at, and it's about 10%. We now have to filter it down to the colleges and to the departments so that they can have indicators that are more relevant to them. So we'll be defining the overall university indicators, and then the plan will filter down. So we're just giving you information as to where we are in the step.
Okay. I think that seems to capture, and it was not just my concern, I think it was, mm-hmm. there were other trustees who also talked about this, which is really how, if we get where we want to be, how do we know we got there? And what does it look like when we got there? Mm-hmm. And so I get it that this is an example of,
correct.
That you've given us for one particular objective to talk about what the assessments are, which would allow us to say we did that or we didn't do that, mm-hmm. and to then look at what got in our way or what helped us get there or why we were successful doing it and all that kind of thing.
Correct.
Is that fair?
Yes.
We're just being asked to, we're giving an update. We don't need to take any action at this point. Do you expect that you will come back to us at our September meeting, which is our next meeting, with assessments and measures for all of the goals? Or at what point do we need to take action?
I believe that we should be able to come with the assessment, the measures in the September meeting. We have contacted all the administrators that we need, and so we're at that next step, and that would allow us also time when the university comes back to bring it to the full faculty and staff for one more review before the September meeting.
Okay, and it's helpful for us to have it, you know, a week or two before the, mm-hmm. the meeting so that we have a chance to read it and think about, I mean, this is very substantive stuff. It's a lot to think about. There are a lot of goals, and I think the board will need a little bit of time to digest it.
Okay.
Questions?
It's helpful. It's good.
Thank you.
I think this is real. It's exciting to see this. I think it gets everybody real focused on what's important.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Higher Learning Commission accreditation update. I guess we got to bring Dr. Musial back. We could have probably.
I'll be very brief.
Had you do double duty when you were here before, but
I'll be very brief since we did spend a couple of meetings talking about the revisions and making sure that that you and the other board members were aware of the revision process. But that's not all we did. We realized that one of the main tasks that we need to do immediately upon the beginning of the fall semester is to start informing the campus community, particularly the students, about the accreditation process. We may very well have our visit in fall of 2012. That's our request. So that's really, really just around the corner. And we have found that successful institutions, all students have bought into the accreditation process. They understand what it is. They understand what their role is. And Notre Chapman and the marketing committee for the HLC actually had a focus group, met with some students. Well, how should we inform students? And their answer was, use all media. Use all media. Use Facebook. Use email. But use video. And because everything's video. So she has created some fantastic videos to highlight top programs in the university before. So she has now shot some great video footage we've used students and faculty. The short 1 minute, they wanted 1 minute vignettes to just, why is CSU accredited? And yeah, it is. Really, very, very folksy and colloquial. So we're producing these videos, and they will be made available in various formats. We'll probably put on Facebook and on some of those TV screens that are around the campus. We're also in the process of collecting a lot of data. There is a draft due basically at the end of this month, so this week, by the criterion committees. They need data in order to write their reports. And so what we've been doing is we've been contacting many departments. We have contacted and received data from over 13 departments, 150 items. And those data collection, the data is being stored on what's called Live Text, the Live Text portal. And we've had a lot of help from the College of Education in helping us set that up. Angela Poole is our Live Text data manager. She's here. And we've been very, very blessed to have such great help and such cooperation on part of the university community to build this database. And this is a database that can be used from here on out for all accreditation issues. These are things that all accrediting bodies are going to want to know. We're going to move our HLC office to 302, a very much larger room. I'm purchasing tables, nice tables about this size, movable, so that we can have our meetings there. And then when the team comes in 2012, 2013, we have a natural place for them to display all our documents, and they're going to be able to use this as a workroom as well. So we're getting ready for that. We're equipping it with iPads, computers, various things that you need to have a successful office, so that when we have our meetings there, the steering committee meetings, we're going to be very wired. We're working on the syllabus. One thing that's very important is that, I didn't put this in the report, I neglected, but it's been something we talked about at last Friday's meeting, and that is that we really have to have uniform syllabus. We have to have certain items that all syllabi address. And so that when the team comes, it's easy for them to look at various syllabi and make sure, it's easier for them to make sure that all of the learning outcomes and the things that are necessary to be shown are there. Instead of having, a hodgepodge of different syllabi, there should be uniformity to them to help the team. And really, again, successful institutions have this. It'll be on Live Text, and so the team will have access to it. And again, we're working closely with strategic planning. Dr. Sharp, Dr. Roundtree come frequently to our meetings, and we're going to be writing the story for our report of how the strategic plan was written. So that's my report. Any questions? Yes, please.
I wonder in the videos that you're in the you're not just telling students, you're telling them what they can do.
Oh, indeed.
Their actions, steps, and in this conversation,
indeed.
1 minute.
For the most part, it's really, this is the first step. I think this is more of an education process. Some students will come in and say, I heard CSU is not accredited, and that is refuted. Because that's the first thing we need to do, is to get over some of the bad publicity. There's still people out there who think that we're having trouble with accreditation, that we're not accredited. So right now, we're just trying to teach. And then later on, we will produce other things that we'll talk about how the students can participate. One of the things they're going to be asked to do is to fill out surveys, because we need to know what the campus climate is. But right now, I maybe said a little bit too much. Right now, we're trying to inform the campus community about what's going to be happening. We're up for our regularly scheduled visit in 2012-2013. That's part of the issue. And again, a lot of times, John, you're in some of them? You're in some of them, aren't you?
I'm in one.
Yeah, so we have a case where a student comes for an admissions interview, and we have our admissions counselor right here. And so we have that type of thing. And they ask questions about accreditation. So we have lots of little natural sounding vignettes. We meet with community members. People meet in the cafeteria or cafe. So it's really kind of at that level right now, all right?
And that will evolve into what they can do.
Yes.
And how they can participate.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for your comment, and I'll definitely take that to the committee. Anything else?
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your report. We look forward to, and I'm really glad about the survey, because it'll be very interesting to compare it to the 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's the Noel Levitz. You may recall Noel Levitz, okay? They were our consultants from about 2000 to about 2003. We're doing the identical survey now with about 1,800 students, so we can do before and after. Hopefully we get improved marks. I think we will.
Okay, we've got, time has been fleeting this morning. Dr. Watson, do you have an update on enrollment and retention?
In terms of enrollment for this summer, we're about even, slightly up. And in terms of this fall, we have a significant number of applications in over last year. I think 10% plus in terms of applications in. What we're doing different this year that we have not done before is we are inviting students in with their parents to come in groups of 50 for Saturday weekend orientation and testing and enrollment. Before, what we had done at our university was we just invited everybody in on April 15th and said, you know, register. It was more like a cattle call. And we tried to rush people through an orientation. This way, we're bringing them in 50 at a time, have a lot more intimate and engaging conversation with the students. But what's most important, we're having students bring their parents. One of the greatest things that will help with retention is parent involvement, even at the higher education level. So we started that, and we've had two Saturdays so far. We have a third Saturday set up for, I think, mid-July. And we're hoping that this will become part of our new tradition at CSU in terms of enrollment. The enrollment numbers, for this coming fall, we do not have any firm numbers at this point because of the fact that we've taken some action over the past month with regards to some other aspects of our student cohort, and we're trying to assess what the impact will be.
Any questions on enrollment retention? Thank you, Dr. Watson. The only other matter on our agenda is public and employee comments. Are there any public or employee comments today? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will adjourn at noon.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Finished on time?